Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, it is, and yes, we are. 7:15 should be a little bit drier and I don't know about cooler today, but the rain is gone, and you should notice highs in the mid 80s and lower humidity, so it should feel a little bit better. Dr. Corey Hebert joins us now, associate professor of pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine, to talk about the meeting of the vaccine advisory committee. How you doing, Dr. Corey? So we'll call him back. Somebody texted me. This is why I was a little bit distracted before. It says, and you got to know, I don't know what I'm looking at here. It says hub.jhu.edu from November 5th of 2019, taking Tylenol during pregnancy associated with elevated risks for autism, ADHD, a Johns Hopkins study analyzing umbilical cord samples found that newborns with the highest exposure to acetaminophen were about three times more likely to be diagnosed with ADHD or autism spectrum disorders in childhood. I don't know what I'm looking at here. I don't know if that's from Johns Hopkins or not. Somebody sent me that link and said it's a real study, not politics, and I wanted to look at that so that I could ask Dr. Hebert about it, because we always talk about going online and finding information and what's reliable and what's not. And with that, we welcome in Dr. Hebert. How you doing, Dr. Corey?
Hey, it seems like that miscommunication is all over the world right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you. So,
I'm not sure.
So somebody texted me this, and I went to it to look at it. It says hub.jhu.edu 2019-1105, acetaminophen pregnancy autism, taking Tylenol during pregnancy associated with elevated risk for autism, ADHD. It quotes a Johns Hopkins study. But again, I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know what's real, what's not real. But I wanted to look at it because I know you always talk about you can't go to the internet and do your research just because you have internet access. So tell me about this latest thing with Tylenol and pregnancy and what the studies show.
Okay, so this is the hardcore data. We looked at about 46 studies to look at a retrospective analysis of whether these Tylenol usage in a pregnant woman caused an increase in ADHD or autism. And what we found is that, is there a correlation? There have been several studies that showed correlation between those two or three things.
Tell
right?
me what correlation is, Dr. Hebert, for people that don't know.
Okay, so, and I'll give you a perfect example. Every year around August, between July and August, there's a huge increase in shark attacks across the world, right? Mm-hmm. In the summer areas of the world. And at the same time, there's a huge increase in the amount of ice cream that is sold at the same time. So those two things correlate, but that doesn't mean that the shark attacks made the people eat ice cream, or that the ice cream made people eat shark attacks. Made people have shark attacks, all right? So that means that there's a correlation between those two things, but one doesn't cause the other. They just happen simultaneously. And until we can link the fact that ice cream eating causes the shark attack, that means we can't say one causes the other. That's as clear as I can make it.
I'm right? so glad I asked you what correlation means.
Yeah, because it's a really big difference, and people constantly use their own personal opinions or this concept of correlation to think about causation. This is what we did during COVID. I just want to give you a prime example. Someone would come to me and say, Doc, I've done all my research. I'm decided I'm getting the COVID vaccine, but I'm decided I'm getting the Pfizer. Okay, I'll say, well, why'd you get the Pfizer? Because all my friends that got the Pfizer, none of them got sick, so I'm getting it. I said, well, that's funny, because all my friends that got the Pfizer, they all got sick. And then they say, oh, man. I'm like, exactly. Correlation does not mean causation. So there are some studies of those 46 that showed a very small correlation. But the same type of correlation exists between ice cream sales and shark attacks. So what you have to look at is how can there be causation? Okay, so there is one study that was done a few years ago that looked at 2.5 million women that were pregnant. Those women had sibling studies, which means that the woman took Tylenol when she was pregnant with one child, and then she did not take Tylenol when she was pregnant with the other child. Same father, but these studies controlled for lots of different things. They control for age. They control for smoking. They control for things that make a study valid so that you can make sure that there's no selection bias, because you can't just say we're going to use a whole bunch of white women or we're going to use a whole bunch of black women. You have to have black women, white women, poor women, rich women. You have to have everybody. And that study, the most concise study that was controlled the most, showed no causation at all. And this is the thing that made me a little bit angry about what happened the other day, is because they came out once again to say that this study, the dean of the School of Public Health at Harvard, that he said that there was a study that shows causation. And he clearly, and I posted this on my website, clearly says it does not cause causation. And he also took $150,000 from different financial entities to testify against Tylenol in the court case. You see what I mean? And I posted those things on my website.
Wait, he said it does not cause. There was no causation.
There was no causation.
So he was misquoted
at all. Say again.
He was misquoted then.
Yeah. Well, he was. He didn't quote it. Someone from the federal government
misquoted him.
All right.
Saying that there was causation when there, or at least saying there was correlation or not causation.
Yeah, there's always been a little correlation between some of these entities, but there's never been causation.
All right, let me take it. Go ahead, Doc.
The thing that made me angry about it, though, is that when you looked at this, and I had to post this because the analysis showed that through observational, and I'm quoting right now, observational limitations preclude definitive causation. And that was the conclusion of that study that the federal government documented the other day. And that the dean of the public health school also took $150,000 to pay to testify against Tylenol.
So what you're saying is he took the money to testify against Tylenol, but even then he still said there was no causation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely. Okay. And if you go to Corey Hebert, MD, on Twitter, on Facebook, or whatever, and you can see the study that I'm proving that is the fact.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about the Vaccine Advisory Committee when we come back. Dr. Corey Hebert, our guest, 7:23, a little bit late. Traffic now, WWL. 7:27, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back to Dr. Corey Hebert. I got to address this text. Somebody says, so you find one liberal doctor to agree with your opinion, and now we're supposed to trust him and not Trump. First of all, I don't know what makes Dr. Corey a liberal doctor, but I do know this. He's a doctor, and he's not a politician, so I would trust the doctor and the scientific approach as opposed to politicians making medical policy. Along those lines, tell me about the vaccine, what is the committee that met? The Vaccine Advisory Committee?
ACIP. Yeah. The ACIP. Now let me say this. Can I address that comment?
Sure, absolutely.
First of all, I think what the president did actually was not necessarily the worst thing, because in the final analysis, what he said was, go to your doctor and make your decision based on the leadership of your doctor. So he did leave. They didn't take Tylenol off the market. They didn't do anything like that. They just said, you know what? You do what you think is best for your baby, or as a clinician, as a patient. And what one thing I do want to tell people, though, when we talk about this Tylenol and autism thing, I want you to recognize that those studies that I mentioned and all the studies that we've done, they don't show causation. But what we do know as a fact that is unequivocal is that if you are a woman and you have a very high fever during the first trimester of pregnancy, we have a clear causation that your child has an increased risk of autism and ADHD.
See, and that's what I was going to ask you. You got to be taking the Tylenol for some reason, right? So if you're taking it, how do you know it's not the underlying condition that's causing the autism and not the Tylenol, the reason for which you're taking the Tylenol? Okay.
I mean, you just got to think, how many things are going on in a woman's life, in a fetus's life, for all these things to be all in one line for it to prove something like that? It's almost impossible to prove. But the point is that we do know that if you have a fever and you are pregnant in the first trimester, there is an increase. That's why you have to look at the risk-benefit ratio on whether you should take Tylenol. So you say, I have a study that says I know if I have a fever that is going to probably cause autism or ADHD, but I don't have a study that says if I take Tylenol, it's definitely going to cause it. So which one would you do?
And then if you have, Dr. Corey, just to take it one step further before we run out of time, then if you have a high fever as a mother and you decide to get your child vaccinated and autism manifests itself, well, then you can't blame it on the vaccine. You got to go back to where the causation is, right?
That is correct. That's why it's so hard to prove causation in a situation like this with so many confounding variables. And I think that's the biggest problem here, Tommy. But the ACIP, what they do is they decide, that's up to the CDC, they decide basically how and when a vaccine is going to be given, and the FDA says whether the vaccine is safe and effective.
So, real quick, when it comes to causation with autism, what have they found? High fever and what else, Doc?
Really, there's so many things that are correlative, but there's really no one thing that you can say causes this more than genetics and environmental factors. And that's why what you have to do is always make sure that you do the best thing when you're pregnant. Do the best thing. Keep your baby away from so many things that could cause any type of issue with the baby, as well as when the baby comes. Don't feed them horrible food. Don't expose them to horrible toxic chemicals. You know, these are the types of things that we do know. But as far as vaccines, as far as Tylenol, we just don't have that answer yet, and hopefully we do.
So
that's the path.
It seems like on one side you got 1,000 different variables, then on the other side you got, well, everybody gets a measles vaccine, so let's blame it on the measles vaccine, right?
Exactly.
There's your correlation and not causation.
Yeah, and by the way, I've been a principal investigator on over 100 clinical trials, so I'm not just a regular dude. I'm a dude that does this for a living.
Oh, you're our dude. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Dr. Corey Hebert, Associate Professor of Pediatrics at LSU Health New Orleans School of Medicine. I don't know why the president chooses to weigh in on this, but he does. Politically, I tell him stay away from it. 7:31, we'll talk about the Fujirawa or something like that effect when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. 7:47, 13 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist, to talk about, well, the first thing we're talking about is how you pronounce it. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Tommy?
I've been struggling with this thing. What do you call it? How do you say it?
It's the Fujirawa.
Fujiwara. I got that right?
Fujiwara effect.
Fujiwara effect. Tell me what that means and what it's affecting.
Okay. So, and why this is relevant today. The Fujiwara effect occurs when any two tropical storms or hurricanes, they get close enough to start to interact with each other. And basically what happens is, if you think about these two major systems, I mean, they're large in scale, they basically start to orbit around each other around a common center. Basically, they're doing the two-step, if you will, as they rotate around each other. And sometimes the larger storm, if you have one storm that's way larger than the other, the larger one will capture or absorb the smaller one. But if they're about the same size, they'll just basically do this little dance around each other and then go their separate ways. And they usually kind of reorient the storms and, send them off in paths that are almost totally unpredictable. So it's a really tough prediction situation for the National Hurricane Center right now.
So we're talking about, is Imelda a storm yet or not?
Not yet. It's still just a mass of thunderstorms that is developing, but they do expect it to be a tropical depression sometime over the weekend and probably become a named storm Sunday or Monday. So we'll just keep a close watch on that one. But it's got a little ways to go.
And then you got Umberto, right, which is a storm.
That's correct, yeah. Umberto right now is a, let's see, I'm pretty sure I get this right. It is at hurricane status right now with winds at 65 knots. So it's a minimal hurricane right now.
So neither one of these are going to be of consequence to us here in Louisiana, right?
No, no, nothing to worry about here in Louisiana. However, if you were in the Carolinas, you probably have a lot to worry about. Mm. So just to give you a little background. So we have the two models, the American model and the Euro model. The American model really doesn't have very much interaction taking place. So I would argue minimal Fujiwara effect being shown in that model. The Euro model, on the other hand, does have some interaction taking place. And what the storms do is Umberto is going to help hold Imelda in place over the Carolinas, right off the coast. Mm. And if that scenario plays out, it could rain like hell over that area. Mm. You know, we could be looking at 15, 20, 25 inches of rain across that area because it could sit there for several days.
So when you started with me a couple of minutes ago, I pictured you like the guy in a perfect storm with the Kleenex tucked into your collar for the makeup and you're eating a donut and you're looking at the screen and you said, this could be the perfect storm. But actually, that's not the case at all. These don't combine into one superstorm. It just affects, is it the intensity or the path of the storm primarily or both?
All of the above, Tommy. So some storms, like I said, if you have two storms that are about the same strength, they'll just kind of rotate around each other and then go their separate ways. Mm-hmm. But if one storm is significantly larger and stronger than the other, it'll just absorb it. And the term they use is capture. And I'll give you a couple of examples. In 2005, Hurricane Wilma just completely absorbed a smaller tropical storm. It was Tropical Storm Alpha. And, of course, you know, we were reeling from Hurricane Katrina. We didn't really give a damn about anything else going on. But this happened right off the coast of Florida. And, of course, that, you know, this absorbing that smaller storm reinforces
the circulation. Wait, say that part again, Barry?
I don't know which part you missed.
Just now. I didn't miss it. I want people to hear it again, what you said just now.
Yeah, so Hurricane Wilma absorbed about the tropical storm.
Yeah.
about Katrina, you mean?
Yeah.
Katrina. Yeah, we were reeling for Hurricane Katrina. Like I said, we didn't give a damn about anything happening after Katrina. And this occurred, you know, in the weeks and months following Katrina, and I don't think any of us our heads were spinning at this particular stage. So nothing else mattered, but Wilma absorbed this alpha and it reinforced its circulation, increased its intensity, and it went on its merry way through into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, we had a close call here in 2020 when we had Hurricane Laura. It you know, annihilated Lake Charles. Mm-hmm. But while it was in the Gulf, it started to interact a little bit with Tropical Storm Marco. But Marco fizzled out really before any significant interaction occurred. But I do remember doing some interviews on the Fujiwara effect back in 2020 when all this was going on.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back talking to Barry Keim, our friend, LSU health climatologist, about the Fujiwara effect. Did I say it right?
You did.
Hot.
Very good.
Diggity dog. I'm not going to say it again. 752, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:58, couple of minutes left with Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist. I'm Tommy Tucker here on WWL. Barry, somebody texted, and I think it's a good question, if the storms do combine, what happens to the name of them? Who takes whose name? Kind of like a marriage,
it's a good question. We may need some lawyers for this one.
Yeah.
It keeps the name of the larger, bigger storm that does the absorbing of the smaller storm. So, and of course, you can argue that as to which storm is really absorbing the other, right? Mm-hmm. But it's actually pretty evident when you look at the maps.
Be like these football players, Tropical Storm Umberto Imelda. Let's talk about real quick the rest of the hurricane season, because look, it's September 26th. Got a cool front coming in, knocking on the door of October. What can you tell me as a climatologist looking ahead for the rest of hurricane season?
Okay, certainly nothing in the Gulf over the next 7 days, so that's a beautiful thing.
Takes us to October this 3rd, something like that. Go ahead.
Yes. So, once we get into October, the chances of a major hurricane drop significantly. And so, you know, we're looking, we still could get hit with a minor hurricane before the month of October is over. So we got about 4 or 5 more weeks before hurricanes are off the table. And then once we hit November, I'm almost hesitant to say it. I know I'm going to regret it, but we're pretty much home free when November gets here.
So are you saying we're home free as far as major storms go, or not quite?
Not quite. I'd give it, well, I mean, like I said, there's nothing in the offing for the next week. But once we get into the first week of October, the chances of a major hurricane are close to zero. Not zero, but close.
Take it a week at a time. We'll talk Saints, Bills we come back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.